And I'll apologize right off the start. I do not have a Mother's Day message. We've been working on our theme for the Focus Weekend, so I kind of want to keep going with that. So maybe another time, but there's certainly lots to be said about mothers and moms and the, as Dave mentioned, the influences they have in our lives. So we're thankful for them this morning. We've been talking this weekend about the steps a believer needs to take. We started off Friday night on how first, in order to become a believer, we have to get saved. That's our first thing that we need to do. The verse here on my right, Psalm 37:23, says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." Are you delighting in the Lord's way today? We talked Friday night a little bit about why people don't come to know the Lord as their Savior, because they have excuses. I'm too bad. I don't have time. I don't feel like it's the right thing. And you know what we mentioned on Friday night? That there's the Lord has given an invitation to a banquet that's going to be coming, and it's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And we're all invited. But we talked about how people have so many excuses they can come up with in order to not be there. I kind of drew a little analogy for them. I said, if you guys, this is how it went. Here, we'll call it Sunday morning because I'll say it for everybody, but I use Friday night. But I said, you've heard of marriage, and you've been invited to this feast, this banquet. And the banquet's in honor of a son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's son. And you're invited to come. And here's the invitation that you have. And I held a piece of paper up. And I said, you're welcome to come to that invitation. And yet, some of you may say, come up with an excuse and say, no, I'm not going to be there because I don't have time. And I challenged them. I said, would anybody dare to come up and not take that invitation to sign it that they want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb? People come up with excuses all the time. When we looked at things, one quote I went with that D.L. Moody has said, many people will excuse themselves into hell, but they will never excuse themselves out of it. We talked about that Friday night. On Saturday morning, we talked about how it is our responsibility. Now we're moving on. Now that we're saved, if a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we talked about now it becomes their responsibility to grow in that. It becomes their responsibility to start reading, to start praying, and to start growing as a Christian. Even at a young age, people are expected to do that. It's a personal relationship that you have. And as I said, I can't remember if I used Tristan's name Friday night. I can't get Tristan to read for me. I can't get Tristan and say, Tristan, can you pray the prayers that I should be praying? It's a personal thing that has to happen. It's got to be an individual thing that you've got to do on your own. Message 3 in the afternoon yesterday, Glenn took that over. I asked Glenn to help me out because 5 messages is a lot. 4 is a lot. It is. 1 can be a lot. It can. But you know what Glenn spoke on? He spoke on having a quiet time. Being alone with the Lord. Being away with the TV shut off and with nothing around. He talked about 3 things that we have to carve out. We have to make a notch. We have to make time. We have to carve out a time. We have to carve out a place. And the third thing was we have to have a focused mind. So that's what we talked about yesterday afternoon. Last night in message 3, we talked about how, Lord, trials are going to come. And we talked about some of the hard things that happen. Some of these kids in this room have seen some things that they should have not never had a seen. And they've gone through things that they should have never had a gone through at a young age, let alone an older age. And we talked about how, Lord, I just find it hard sometimes. It's difficult. And we talked about the importance of relying on Him no matter what. And that He's going to get me through these times and no matter how tough it gets, Lord, I'm going to stick it out with you. And we talked about being enduring, that when these things come, that we work through them, and then we're ready for the next time. So them are some of the things we talked about yesterday. These are steps. As believers, we evolve. Not evolution, but it evolves our life. We keep going on. Things happen. Things happen to me. I'm 53 years old. I've experienced more things than Jesse, than Jaden have down here, or Isaac, or Glenn, whoever, these front row guys. But their opportunity is coming where they're going to make a stand for the Lord, and they're going to have to, and they won't have any choice. It'll either be they do it right or they fail. And then are they going to get up after they fail, or are they just going to stay down? That's the decision. So this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about finishing well. Now, my wife would probably be able to say amen to this, but I've been known to start a project and maybe not finish it. Or if I do finish it, I can recall there was some nicks in our wall, and Eldon was doing some work in my garage, and I got him to come in and fix the nicks in the wall, and I painted the wall about a month ago, but it was probably not painted for 4 months. Big white blotches all over our living room, but I got it done, but it took time. But that's what I want to talk about this morning. Sometimes we can do jobs that we start and we never finish. There's other times where we can do jobs and they take a long time to do. And then there's other times where we just get it done fast. But this morning I want to talk about the believer's walk. And some of you guys, you know what I thought about for a long time, and it finally hit me yesterday morning when I was praying about this thing. When I think about a believer finishing well, I'm trying to remember you guys up there in the balcony too. You know what I think of? Somebody who's probably 75, 85, maybe 90. And I think, boy, if they can finish well at that age, they're going to do good. You know what I thought of? Poor Timothy Harding a couple of weeks ago today. He was killed in a motorcycle accident. 24 years old. Guess what? The Lord called him home. His dad told me that he was saved. But he was finished. His work was done. Whatever he had done for the Lord, that was it. So finishing well does always not mean that you're going to have to be 75 or 80 in order to finish. Because I kind of wondered, how is this going to affect the youth group that I'm saying, when some of them are only 13, some of them are 18, 19, 20. But it really matters where you're at in your spiritual life. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? Don't have the faintest clue. I'm sure when he was coming home on that bike from, let's say, Montague direction, poor Timothy didn't know within a few minutes that the Lord was going to call him home. He didn't have the faintest clue, I'm sure of it. And that could happen to each one of us tomorrow or today or this afternoon when we leave church. So I want to look at a piece of scripture. Alan's going to bring it up on the screen here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we just want to take a quick look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, or 23, let's read it from there. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker therein with you. Know ye not that when they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is the temperate of all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run the race, run not as uncertainty, so I fight not as one that beateth the air. So here we see that we see the analogy of somebody that is running in a race. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning in the scriptures a little bit for some examples for you guys. For people in the scriptures who finished different ways. People who had a rotten finish and people who finished great. It says here, Paul has said, but I keep my body under subjection, least by any means I have preached to others that I should be a castaway. This is 1 Corinthians 9:27. That's in another version it says, now I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I was thinking of some examples in the world of people who might be disqualified. You know, the first guy I thought of, and you younger fellas wouldn't know, these are girls, but Pete Rose. Pete Rose was a player, and he ended up managing the Cincinnati Reds in baseball. You know what happened to him? He was one of the best batters of all time, yet he was disqualified from baseball. He got kicked out of the Hall of Fame because he started gambling on baseball games. And he was even gambling when he was managing and playing. He said he never gambled on his own team, but he was disqualified, and to this day he's still disgraced. Somebody of your modern age, Lance Armstrong. What happened to him? The top bicyclist in the world. And yet, now he's nothing, because you know why? He took drugs and they found out, and they disqualified him for everything. Every accolade that that man earned now means nothing, because he cheated along the way. If we look at some men in scriptures, the first person that came to me was Cain. Four chapters into the Word of God, we have a man who disqualified himself. He killed his own brother. This is at the start of eternity, in a way. It didn't take very long for men's sin to find itself out. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. You know what happened there? They wanted to give money to the Lord's work, and they sold a field. But they kept a little bit for themselves. You know what? The Lord required their lives of them. Within a few hours, they were both dead. They were put to shame because they didn't give it all to the Lord. I remember Fentanyl telling me years ago, I think it was when Bill Gates was the richest man in the world. They interviewed him. It might have been before Bill Gates, but whoever it was, he was the richest man in the world at the time. This lady had done an interview for a half hour, and the last question she asked him, she said, "When is enough enough?" You know what his answer was? Never forgot it. "I just want a little bit more. Just want a little bit more." And that's the way men are driven. They always want more. Lance Armstrong was injecting himself with steroids of all sorts because he was performing, and he had to stay on top, and he wanted to, and that's what happened. I think my biggest fear, to be honest with you, is that I do finish poorly. I don't want to go out in a flame of smoke. If the Lord called me home today, would I be happy? No, I don't. There's always more you can do, but I sure wouldn't want to be called home in disgrace. I'd want to be living for the Lord, and that's probably the thing I pray for myself the most, is that I would finish well. And it's important to me that I do. I think of Gideon. He was a so-so finisher. We read great things about him, but towards the end of his life, he compromised in Judges chapter 8. Power and money, that's what got him. Solomon was a man greatly used of God. He built the temple. He had great wisdom, and he had everything else. Yet in the end, he had multiple wives, concubines, and was drunk on riches and power, and didn't properly train his children in the way they should go. He dropped the ball. Here's some people with a so-so finish. Alexander Daig. I don't know if you guys remember him or not. Some of you might sound familiar. 1993, top draft pick of the Ottawa Senators in the NHL. Expected to be the next Wayne Gretzky. Guess what? He never did very much. He played in the NHL for a number of years, but you know what he was always known as? The NHL poster boy rookie bust. And if you go look it up now, that's still what he's called, because he just never was able to perform the way that people wanted him to perform. I'm sure he tried, but it just didn't work. Here's another so-so finish, a man on top of the golfing world, Tiger Woods. Was the best golfer in the world, arguably since Jack Nicklaus. You know what happened to Tiger Woods? They all say his back went bad on him. If you go back and look at history, you know when Tiger Woods started, trouble started? When he had a relationship outside of his marriage. It wasn't the back. The back came after. And he's never been the same. A so-so finish, and he probably won't be now. There's a couple of examples of men that were so finishes. My favorite book of the Bible, Jonah. Jonah didn't finish well. Jonah had a chance to preach the word to people, and guess what? They believed. The city of Nineveh turned around. Thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people came. Jonah's preaching was even humble enough to get the king to wear sackcloth and ashes. He got down on the ground. The only thing I can think of sackcloth and ashes is when I think of an old jute potato bag. It would be awful to wear in your skin. Yet you know what was a sign of? It was a sign of humbleness. You know what the last words in Jonah's, the book of Jonah is? The last words he ever spoke? He says, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Can you imagine? The scriptures are going to last forever. The scriptures are going to be eternity. And them are the last words that Jonah ever breathed, that we hear of. It's sad. It's so finished. He was so angry. He said, I know, Lord, that thou art a gracious God, and I knew you were going to do what you were going to do, but I'm still not happy that you did it. That's a sad story. Think of Saul. Dave talked about him this morning, the first morning meeting. Saul was a man that was chosen king, but he was man's choice and not God's. And at the end, all Saul wanted to do was to kill God's chosen one, and that was David. In the end, Saul had it. He had everything going for him. But in the end, I don't know if we could say it was pride, it was greed, it was selfishness. But in the end, he ended up taking his own life, didn't he? He was on his way out anyways, but he did end up taking his own life. But what a so-so finish for Saul. He had everything. We look at these people with money and we think they've got everything, but if they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, all they got is money. That's it. A lot of us sometimes think that we'd be so much happier with so much more, but the reality is I don't think so. I think of some men that finished well. I love baseball, so I keep going back to it. But Ted Williams, he played for the Boston Red Sox. Here's some stats on him. I don't want to be too long. Played for the Red Sox for 19 years in left field the total time. He fought in the Second World War. In the Korean War, he finished his career a two-time recipient MVP, a six-time All-Star, a batting champ, a Triple Crown winner. His batting average was .344, and his on-base percentage was the highest of all time. You know what they said about Ted Williams? He was a well-respected man. Now, I don't know if Ted Williams knew the Lord or not, but in man's eyes, he finished well, and he's finished his career well. I thought this was kind of different. Here's Ted Williams' quote. Baseball is the only field of endeavor where a man can succeed 3 times out of 10 and be considered successful. So I thought that was kind of cute. He'd be batting 300. So in baseball, that's pretty good. Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky's another fellow who lit up the charts. Tons of stats from the NHL. His records, I don't know, they may be broken sometime, but it's going to take a long time. It is. You know what? Wayne Gretzky was an excellent ambassador for the NHL and still is to this day. He did the game good. He didn't do it bad. So I'll ask you this morning, are you doing the Lord good or are you doing him not so good? I asked the young people the other night, if you didn't say a word to your fellow classmates at school, would they know you're a Christian? And I'll say the same thing to you, because they should. People should know I'm a Christian, whether I say it or not. It's important. And I know I slip up. My family will contend to that. And I make mistakes. I do. Lots of them. But it's a fact where we got to keep getting up and keep going on. It's important that when we fall, we don't fall down and stay down. Because, you know, the devil wants to trip you up. I told the kids last night, if you're a Christian, you know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to limp into heaven. That's what he wants. So if you fall down or you do a sin, and you do a sin that's a, you know, that's not a very, I hate to use the word worse sin than the other, but you know what I mean. If you do something like that, then Ask the Lord for forgiveness. If you've offended a brother, make it right, or a sister, and then move on. I've had to. I've had to do it. I've had to eat crow sometimes where somebody was offended, and I didn't think in any part of my being that I had done or said anything wrong. But that brother or sister was offended, and I went and said I was sorry. That's just what you got to do to move on, okay? It takes those things. Some definitions I'd like to just look at for finishing well. To finish well means to walk with God personally to the end of your life. It's to make a contribution to God's work with your time and gifts. And this is one we've already, Dave has talked about, is to leave a heritage for those children who are coming up in the Lord and will continue on in the work. You can't help but when you go through trials and things like that, that you think of Job. You know, his own wife asked him to deny the Lord and die. In Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. You know, but he didn't. He wanted God's blessing, and he sought God out. Another good example of finishing well was Joshua. When he conquered the promised land, the Lord had promised him good success. And he said, if you follow me, I will promise you good success. And he did. Caleb. Here is a man who was faithful. Guys, listen to this. 45 years later, Caleb got his promise fulfilled. When they were to go, him and Joshua, just go scout out the promised land, they came back. 10 guys said, it's too tough to go. 2 guys said, we're good. Let's go. Let's go in. Let's take it. God had given to us. And yet, what a disaster that was for the next 40 years. But 45 years later, God fulfilled his promise. That's amazing to me. It is. You think about these people that get saved when they're older. It's a promise fulfilled, but it takes a long time. I don't know if Nancy Ritchie's here this morning, but I was talking to Nancy the other day. Safe trip home, guys. They got to go catch the boat, so we knew they'd be leaving. So I was talking to Nancy Ritchie on Friday night, and we were talking about how she got saved when she was older. And, you know, she was so thankful that the Lord showed her mercy at her age. Because when people get saved when they're older, the odds are against them. I'm not saying they're not makeable. But the more life goes on, the more you get established in your life, and you think you can do it on your own. Daniel was another man who honored the Lord. He wouldn't bow down. He stood his ground, and he was faithful for that. Some of the barriers that we might have for not finishing well, and this is the big one, the love of money. And it's a doozy because it can drive men away from the Lord pretty quick. Other things are power. People just want to be in church sometimes. They don't want to play second fiddle. And that happens. Pride. Pride can get in the way of finishing well. A lot of people don't come to the Lord because of pride. I mean, maybe they're convicted. And we talked about that Friday night. When the devil starts working, if the Spirit is working, and people are so close to getting saved because of a friend or somebody that's given a word, you know what happens? The devil will take that plank and he'll shove it right there. And you know what he says? He said, walk out on it. You just got to take one step. You know where the plank leads? It leads to nowhere. And we talked about that too. You know what that is? It's all about how I feel. I don't feel I'm ready. I feel. I told him the other night, away with the feelings. God has nothing to do with how you feel. And I told the kids, if we could control our feelings, we would feel good all the time. I would never feel bad. I'd feel good whenever. We can't control our feelings. So pride can get in the way. And then I was thinking of another thing, just stuff. The lust of the eyes. We want bigger because somebody else has bigger. We want a bigger car. We want a bigger house. Or we want, oh man, my cell phone's only 6 months old. And you know, like Thomas there, he's got the new Galaxy 14. And I've only got an iPhone 6, you know. But that's what happens. We're never satisfied with the things that can go on, and they'll cause us to stumble. It has been the downfall of many people. You know what another downfall is? How we don't finish well. And I don't want to spend too much time on this. I got the John DeVries system. My nose is dripping. Maybe we're related, Johnny. I tell you, Johnny said, let's go pray before the meeting. So we did. It was good. Sex. Man, that has stumbled a lot of people. Married or not. It called a lot of people to fall for the Lord and sometimes never get back. It's hard. So easy for everyone now to flick on their phone and they can look at anything, anytime, without anybody knowing. It's bad stuff. If you go down that road, it's going to be a hard truck to get back. I just mentioned to the kids, you know, pornography is such a weapon for the devil today. But it leaves such an emptiness, they will never be satisfied by looking at that stuff. Never. There will be a big hole that will never satisfy. And you know the thing about that? It's no different than somebody who's struggling with gambling, somebody who's struggling with drugs, alcohol. It's an addiction. And if you're struggling with that, you have got to find somebody that can give you help with it. People continue to grow, don't need a level off. You know, I think it was even Dave here today that mentioned about the prayer warriors here at the chapel. There's quite a difference of ages here this morning, but there's people now that physically can't do anything else for the Lord. They're limited. But I tell you, they can still pray, and I know they do. As your spiritual life goes on, you should be evolving. If you can help a chapel, at Awana, Young People's, we mentioned that, help a camp, wherever you can. But then you get to the point where I look at my own self. I can still help physically, but I'm limited right now anyways for what I can do. But you do what you can with what you got, okay? The Lord has given you gifts to use, and you want to use them gifts for all you can. I think the hardest part will be discipline. The hockey playoffs are on now. It takes no time to sit down for 2.5 hours and watch a hockey game. But boy, it takes a lot to sit down and read my Bible for 10 minutes. Why is that? Why can't I get down on my knees and pray for somebody who really needs it? It's tough. It takes time. The old nature is saying, no, you'll have time later. Devil's just saying, you know, you'll get there. Just do it later. Well, later never comes. That's the trouble. I was reading this analogy about a horse the other day. I don't know why, but I came across it. They say that when a horse is training to run a race, that the jockey is out there running the horse as fast as he can by himself, and he's whipping him. You know, with the whip to make them go faster, or hitting the side of the harness or whatever they do. I'm not a big horse guy, but whatever they do. But they said when it comes time to race, if they run that horse hard, when it comes time for the race to take place, that when the horse gets alongside another horse, he picks it up a notch because he wants to compete. And at that point, there's no need for the jockey to hit the horse anymore, and the horse will go for himself. It's a flat-out race right to the end for that horse. And so it is for us. You know, as we talk about the way we finish, it is a race, and it's a race of endurance many times. I talked to Franklin McDonald a couple of weeks ago. Franklin has run some marathons. So I asked him, I said, Frank, and I'm thinking in this analogy in my head that it's the Christian walker running a race. And I asked Franklin what it was like to run the marathon, you know, what's the experience is like? And Frank said, you're good at the start, everything's great. But he said, when you get to the 20-mile mark of a race that's 26 miles, 385 yards long, he said, when you get to that 20-mile mark, you call what they say, hit the wall. He said, Your body wants to shut down. He said, my feet were blistered. He said, I could feel the blisters on my feet breaking. And he said, your body's just telling you to quit, pack her in. I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. But he says, from that last stretch, from the 20-mile mark to the end, he said, it's agony. And I've got to push. And I got to make myself do it. He said, there's nothing easy from here on in. And I said, oh, I thought you just kind of work through the wall and then you got by it. And he said, no, there's no working through it. You got to make it right to the end. So I said to him, I said, what's your experience like when you're done with the race? He said, Greg, it's hard to explain. He said, after all that torture and what you put your Bible through, or body through, he said, I got to think of the word he used here now, euphoria. I think that was the word he used. He said, you're just so happy that you've done the race, you finished your goal, you've hit the mark, and you're so happy that you're done that your body, in one way, is relaxing again. And I thought that was kind of neat. And I thought to myself, you know, are we going to get to that point where we're running this race and we're going to hit walls? You young people, we talked about that last night, you're going to hit walls. But are you going to quit? Are you going to get back up? Well, Frank will never get up, but he could have quit. But he kept going even when it got hurt. He pushed his body. And that's what I want to encourage you guys today to do. If you get in trouble and you may hit a wall, then you just go through it. You work your way through it. Philippians 4:13 says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. I should always be ready to study and pray, and I should never stop, even though sometimes it's hard. Because if I stop going forwards, then I start going backwards. Just finishing this message up, and I'm going to be done. I got thinking about you people who know the Lord, and you people who are younger, and mentors. I got thinking about this mentor thing. And I would encourage, as I have already, the young people, and some of you guys too, you older people, is to grab a hold of a young person that you're comfortable with. And don't be scared to take them out for a pizza, a ball game. Don't be scared to sit down, have a little word with them and pray and tell them you're thinking about them. Now, I don't mean anybody who's, you're not going to pick somebody out of the blue and not know you, but somebody who you might be close to that's a little older. And make something. Help them make something of themselves. You know, Herb Brooks in 1980 took a misfit hockey team. The U.S. Olympic hockey team in 1980, they were not expected to do anything. And yet Herb Brooks was a coach who was well respected. You know what he did? He brought the best out of every player that was on the ice. And he brought more out of the players than the players even knew they could give. And in 1980, they ended up playing Russia to start with, were not expected to win that game at all, and they beat them. And then Finland came in the gold medal cup, and guess what? They beat Finland too. It was called The Miracle on Ice. They even made a movie about it. And it is still to this day considered the top story of the last 100 years for international hockey. They beat the odds. But they had a coach who believed in them. And you know what? The Lord believes in you guys. And he believes he can make something of yourself. He's making something of me. Chiseling away. Taking time. Sometimes he takes big chunks. Sometimes he takes little chunks. But he's working on it. Be quite a thing to say here. When we get to see the Lord for the first time in glory, going to be exciting. Can hardly wait. Do you think he could turn to you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Yeah, I'd love to hear them words. If you guys are going through trials and you want to finish well, you know, whatever it takes, whatever happens, you've got to be able to say, amen. To whatever's coming your way. And if you think you're getting a bit of a low blow, don't worry about it. The Lord knows what he's doing. listen to this song that Alan's going to play for us. I'll close in prayer after.
We're all on a journey, and we're called to walk by faith. There'll always be the mountains and valleys in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow,
and you've seen it time and time again,
just say
it's hard to see, but be bold and courageous and follow where He leads. Greater is the One who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember
the battle is the Lord's. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, was that each
one would come to know him in a relationship. And through his death, that is possible. Father, we just pray for anyone here this morning, maybe that has considered the Lord Jesus, considered these things, considered your sin. Father, maybe some of these youth, maybe to this week, they're not going to know that, Father, maybe they understand for the first time that there's someone who loves them more than they ever had. Father, for us who are saved, may it be our desire, it be God's desire, and great that I would minister this week, and that we would finish well. That we would run the course. Father, that sin does not beset us, but Father, we know that He is the author and finisher of our faith, that we would rely on Him to see us through. And Father, we bless your word to bring all these youth to their homes, respectfully, wherever they live. Father, may they go on to serve you. May this be a stepping stone in this weekend. May they be resolved to love the Savior more and to serve you.
Thank you for your time.